today's interview shows us the power within all of us when we choose to work on our part. Hi, my name is Trina Glines, and this is Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This podcast is for those who want to create happiness daily, even among the chaos that marriage and family life will bring. Get ready to elevate your marriage and life today. Welcome. Welcome to Elevate Your Marriage and Life podcast. This is Trina Glines, and I cannot wait to share this interview with you today. So this interview with Ashlyn Mitchell, who is actually like a personal coach, and she shares real life experiences and helps others to live healthier lives mentally and physically. You can find her on Instagram at Mama Bear Fitness. But what I love about what she shares is Ashlyn talks about real life, and she shares her own very powerful personal story of betrayal trauma. And during her process of going through this trauma in her life, she discovered the power within her. And not only that, she also discovered the spike in our heads that is constantly torturing all of us. My interview with Ashlyn was so eye-opening and incredible. It gave me so much hope for couples out there and families who really do have hard trials, hard things that come their way. It gave me hope for things that I was dealing with in my life. I often, when I teach women, I talk to them about the narrative going on in our heads and this intense woman that lives in there, and she's a crazy lady. She doesn't serve us well. Well, Ashlyn, actually, in working with her children who also have some trauma of their own, they named their Spike. And I loved what Ashlyn shared about this. I think this is such a powerful interview for all of us, but especially as women who we struggle so deeply with that negative narrative that's going on in our heads. And it's just going to open your eyes to, obviously, Ashlyn's very open, and so is her husband, about their recovery, going through recovery from pornography addiction and sex addiction. And it's just empowering. I applaud both of them for being open and willing to share their story, because they have helped and touched so many. When this interview is actually one I did, one of my video interviews, and I'm just releasing it now on my podcast format. And when I did this interview and shared it with the ladies that I teach, I had so many of them reach out to me and say, thank you so much. This helped me so much. My husband's had a pornography issue, and we've been going through recovery, and this just gave me so much hope. And I'm just grateful for individuals out there that are willing to share their stories. And Ashlyn and her husband's story is a powerful story of, you know, mistakes made, forgiveness, and learning how to love a new way and through all of that. And I love it. And so I'm really excited to share this with you, and I hope you will enjoy it as much as I enjoyed having this chat with Ashlyn. And just be a little bit patient on the audio, because it obviously was done in a different format, but hopefully it will turn out great. Thanks so much. I'd like you to meet Ashlyn Mitchell. Ashlyn is a beautiful mom of two girls. She lives in Orem, Utah, and she's actually from St. George, Utah. She had a successful design career as a kitchen designer after graduating in interior design from SUU. And then she had kids and decided to be done. She's been married to Colby for almost 18 years, and they renewed their vows 2 years ago, which I saw the pictures of that and thought that was so cute. She currently runs Mama Bear Fitness and Ashlyn and Colby, and is a co-host on their podcast, Betrayed, Addicted, and Expert. So thank you so much, Ashlyn, for being willing to
meet with me today and share your story and what you've learned with these ladies. I think it's so valuable. What you're doing is just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me.
You are welcome. So, first of all, I had one of my ladies in my group that told me about you. She said, you need to go follow Mama Bear Fitness is what it was. And when I got on and started looking at yours and your husband's story, I was so inspired. As you may know, I work with women, helping them strengthen their marriage. I have a 10-week program that I take them through, and everybody has their skeletons in the closet, right? So I started finding even more so how much people are struggling. And so as I watched your story and how upfront and real you have been, it was so inspiring, so hopeful. Your story is so full of hope. So thank you for that, first. And then second, would you mind sharing your story with the ladies, how you got to where you're at today?
Sure. I have to start out by saying we have this mutual friend who probably sees me as like, who the heck is she now? Because I never told her, I never told anyone my story. And so to say I'm so upfront and bold now is almost laughable, because I was so isolated and alone in it for so long. I was too ashamed to tell anyone. So Kobe and I got married almost 18 years ago. I didn't know any of his history with pornography and what he, you know, his promiscuous lifestyle, whatever. And we just figured we'd get married and that everything would go away if we had issues. We had pretty high expectations, I'd say, for marriage, and very different expectations. And so that first week, when we got home from our honeymoon, we immediately knew something was off. Like, wow. We were already disconnected.
Wow. Yeah.
In the Holy first week. Cow. And it was because we moved into a really tiny apartment. We were still in college. And as much as we were in tight quarters, we were very much apart. He was still living this secret lifestyle. I'm staying up late. I would go to bed. He would stay up. He would watch things or whatever he wanted to do. And I didn't want to know. I knew something was going on, but I also didn't want to catch him doing anything. That went on for years. We finally reached out to when I did actually catch him, and reached out to our religious leader, and just said, we need help. And they didn't know how to help besides saying, Kobe probably wouldn't look at pornography and masturbate if you just would have more sex, right? And you guys, that's not the answer.
Yeah.
The ironic thing is, if you find anyone with a similar story to mine, you'll find that a lot of them are having a healthy sex life.
Yeah.
It's fairly healthy, because we had a very nice marriage, mm-hmm. except for this thing, this mm-hmm. like really yucky, disconnected part, but mm-hmm. everything else really worked. We functioned, we had fun together, but we couldn't talk about anything hard, mm-hmm. That had anything to do with that. So we started seeing a sex therapist, because we thought that was the problem. Mm-hmm. It must be our sex life that's causing these problems. Even though his problem started when he was 7 years old, that didn't make any sense. So we tried it. She told me I think we went to 3 sessions. At the end of the third, she said, Ashlyn, you don't need to come back. You don't have any work to do, which was a lie. And she told Kobe to go to 12-step program. Mm-hmm. She said, you are an addict and you need to get help, and I can't help you. And so there was some good that came from that. Kobe started going to 12-step, and he got that word addict was placed in his head. Mm-hmm. Really bad for me, because I really just pulled back and I said, you fix this. And the idea of like pray it away, and mm-hmm. that was like in full force, and it didn't work. So, let's see, we had been married 6 years. We had no kids. We just both worked full-time careers. Things looked really great on the outside. And, he had an emotional affair at work, and our religious leader called us in because he had been called by the other spouse. And so it was kind of like, you got caught by someone else kind of thing, and was absolutely heartbreaking for me. And I didn't totally understand why, because there was no physical touch. They weren't together even in that way. It was all over email, over text, and over the phone. And so I couldn't understand why I was so upset, but I was. And I feel like during that time, we did try to see another therapist. Again, not much help. But I feel like that was a time when, for me, I think God really placed this, like, his arms around me and just said, like, I'm going to hold you until you can figure things out. Like, I'm going to keep you protected, because I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand those mixed emotions in my head, and I didn't understand what was going on with my husband. Mm-hmm. And so I think he just kind of kept me afloat during that time. And there's really no other way I can explain it, because otherwise it's like, well, why didn't you just leave? Your marriage was pretty crappy at that point. That was why I held in, I held on. And, that we started having kids, and that, you know, the topic never really came up. Kobe traveled a lot for work overseas, and he would be gone for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. FaceTime, Zoom, this wasn't a thing back then. And so we would talk a little bit, you know, because it was expensive. And there was never full truth there. It was like, we knew that traveling was really hard on him because he was alone. He was in countries that sex was very normalized. And so it was a scary thing for me, and it was scary for him. And so we just didn't really talk about it in depth, because neither of us wanted to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So let's see. It was a 6 year gap between the first emotional affair and then the second affair. We'd moved to Utah. He's gotten a new job. His job was great. He was still traveling though, and he was very connected. He was mentoring a lot of women, and they were beautiful women. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard for me. He would get tagged on Facebook, and all the people in our neighborhood say, wow, what do you do for work? I want to get your job. You're always tagged by these beautiful women. And he's like, yeah, ha, ha, ha. And I'm over there going, if you only knew.
Right?
Yeah, not that great. Mm-hmm. So we had started going to therapy again when we moved to Utah. And really, we'd found this family therapist who we felt like she was really helping us. We were trying to, like, just, we had the same fights over and over, which I'm sure people can relate to.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, it's not working. You're having the same fight over and over and over. So we tried to get some help. The problem was, I was very disconnected from who I was and what I was feeling. I'd numbed out. Mm-hmm. I'd numbed out because that whole part of my life was too hard. And so I just was like, no, but this part's really good. So I'm going to live in here. I'm over here, not over there. So when she would ask me how I felt, I just sat in silence, and she didn't understand what was going on. And so, it was kind of a waste of time. It was 18 months that we did that. And I think we went once a week. It was a lot that we did nothing. I think it kept us married, but we didn't, like, move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, then my daughters were sexually abused, and it was, a huge blow to our family. Mm-hmm. We got them in specialized therapy, reported it as soon as we found out, and our lives really switched over to that. Mm-hmm. And I became that mama bear. That's where my company name came from, because I was like, I went to the library. I would check out like 15 books at a time. And I was just reading, like, how can I make sure my girls aren't affected like this for the rest of their lives? And what can I do to prevent this? And I just had this fire inside of me to gain that knowledge and to help my kids. And we'd put our own marriage on hold, like no more therapy, because we couldn't leave our girls with anyone. And so we were in group therapy as a family and doing that thing. And during that time, I remember my husband being he would never cry about it. And he was very upset, and very supportive, but never had emotion about it. And I remember the therapist saying, "Why have you cried about this, Kobe? It's a big deal. This is like a huge thing for your family and for your girls." And he wasn't sure. And later we found out, a year later, he told me he was having an affair during that time. He checked out. Mm-hmm. And the hard part about that, a lot of people who reach out to us will say, "I had a baby," or I just lost my parent, or something traumatic had happened and their spouse had an affair during that time. And it's like, how could you? How could you? Right?
Right. But
now I look at it, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I can see he was so low. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like the perfect storm for him. Mm-hmm. He felt like he had nowhere to go. I was over here doing the mom thing, like craziness. And so he went to someone else, and it was devastating. And I didn't know for a year. My friend, JC shared, she was a acquaintance from high school, shared on Facebook that she had this betrayal group for women who had been through trauma. And she was helping to spread the message of hope and recovery. And I was like, what does she know? I've told no one my story. And I messaged her on Facebook and I was like, "Why are you asking me to like your page? What do you know?" And she's like, "I don't know anything." So I told her my story. For the first time in my life, I told someone what I had been through. And I went to her conference and learned about what betrayal trauma was. I learned about what addiction was, that sexual addiction is a real thing, and came home, told my husband. I jumped a little bit. This is the time he was having the affair. So I told him, I said, I think this is a real thing. I think you have addiction. I found Fight the New Drug and explained that, you know, there's a science behind it. It's not a religious thing. Like, it's affecting your brain. It's affecting our relationship and the connections that you have. And let's see, that was in October. And in August, we started going into specialized therapy at Addo Recovery in Linden, Utah. And within 6 weeks, that's when he told me of that second affair. Mm-hmm. And our life kind of flipped from there. We really were both, you know, we had an in-house separation and said, "Okay, we're going to figure this out." But we really said, "I'm going to figure this out for me. Like, if we stay together or not, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to heal. I'm going to get through this, because I'm not, if I stay with you or if I don't want to take this into another relationship.
Yeah.
I want to be done." Mm-hmm. And so we really went into recovery to work on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we're 3.5 years into recovery, and we're just now starting couples therapy.
Wow. So,
yeah, because we've just really focused on ourselves. We took about a year off from therapy and groups, and have just come back and said, "Okay, let's start working on the intimacy part," which definitely has to heal after something like this.
Yeah.
And it's been great. So we shared our story almost 2 years ago on Facebook, with no plan. We told our therapist that we would love to give them a referral because it changed our lives. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Can we make a video instead?" And we were like, I said no, actually, but my husband is the one, he said, "I want to share," because he, of all people, thought he could never change.
Yeah.
He never saw that there was going to be hope to fix things. And he never planned on telling me about that second affair. So he just wanted people to know that you could. Mm-hmm. And so I gave in and we made these videos and shared them, and they were shared everywhere. And it's crazy. People still find those videos. We talked to a man last night in Iraq who said, "We just found your videos this week, and you know, we're realizing we need help, and what can we do?" It's amazing. And we had no plan of what that would do, but to just share hope, and it's created this whole other part of our life where we get to help people all over the world.
Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. And I know just my own little journey I've had. I look back now and I'm like, if I wouldn't have had those experiences, I wouldn't be where I'm at today and doing what I am doing now. Do you feel that? Do you like, not that you loved what you went through, but you wouldn't be where you are today without those experiences.
For sure. And to be honest, I mentioned it first, I was very isolated. I had a lot of friends. I've always been confident and things like that. But to be where I am today, where I love who I am and I love the people who are in my life, that's a totally different feeling than the life I led before, where people drove me nuts. I judged everyone, you know, because I didn't want to deal with my own stuff. So.
Right. Well, I want you to pass a message on to Colby for me.
Okay.
Thank you. Please tell him thank you. Because what you two have lived through is more common than we want to believe, right? It affects more marriages than we want to believe. And for him to be so willing to be so vulnerable, to allow himself to be out there and share his story and your story, and you being willing to support it and be that backbone of like, we're going to figure this out together, right? The ladies I work with, I hear a lot of personal stories and my heart hurts for them. And I just am so grateful for individuals like yourselves that are exposing it, opening it up, showing it, and showing that it's messy. It's actually kind of messy, right? When I listen to your podcast, it's not perfect. It's messy. You're like maneuvering through trying to figure out how, you know, this is going to work. And it's so real. And like I said, when I introduced you, you bring hope to a place where I think a lot of people don't feel hope. So make sure you tell Colby, thank you so much. I think, it's huge what you two are doing. And I'm sorry about your daughters. I have 5 children. Can't even imagine what that would have been like for me.
Yeah, they're thankfully in a really good place. It's been, you know, 5 years, but they're strong.
Yeah, yeah. And I followed you just a little bit on your trip to Europe. Your daughters are darling. They are just the cutest thing. And when they're dancing, when you guys are working out, and I'm just like, this is so cool. This is like so cool that you guys have brought it in as a family. I love it. It's awesome.
Well, thanks.
So there's 3 things that I kind of want to highlight and talk to you about. So I'm going to name off those 3 things and then we'll go into them one by one. First, I want you to kind of educate us a little bit and talk to us a little bit on betrayal trauma. What is it? How have you figured out how to maneuver through it? And then the next one is going to be the power of me. And that's you recognizing there was work you needed to do, right? Like we saw when somebody else is the problem, no, it's their problem. They need to handle it. That was your first go-to, and then recognizing it in yourself. So that's the second one. And then I love, love, love your concept of the spike in your head. And so I want to talk about this and how detrimental you have found that spike to be. And I talk with women, that's a really big part of what I talk about with them is our self-talk is so important. So those are the 3 things I kind of want to highlight today. So first, betrayal trauma. What is it? You know, I mean, I'm sure a little bit of it's self-explanatory, but what is it? How did you figure out how to maneuver through it? And what advice do you have for women that are in your situation, but even earlier on, they haven't come out. They haven't got this. They don't know what to do. You know, how do they support their husbands? What steps do they take?
Okay. It's tricky. So betrayal trauma is actually, the symptoms are similar to PTSD. So post-traumatic stress syndrome. So, there's a range of symptoms that you can have. So like depression, weight gain, sickness, like autoimmune diseases, often pop up with things like this, anger, unexplained anger, the kind where you rage and then you leave the room and go, what did I just do? That was me. We call it the crazy making, and it kind of gets wrapped up in that spike narrative too, of just like the constant, like broken record of, okay, this is my fault. I'm not enough. I'm a terrible wife. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm all these things, right? Mm-hmm. That it makes us crazy. And you could have nightmares. I had nightmares and I still have, I haven't had a nightmare for probably over a year and a half. But yeah, it's those traumatic, reliving those things. So there's probably over 100 symptoms that you can have. But the most common that you'll hear is the anger. My husband is very outgoing and very likable guy. And I remember specifically his family saying, your wife is so mean. And he's so nice. Like, what? Why are you married to her? She's so mean. And I remember, like, I can visually remember being at my in-laws' house and thinking, if they only knew, like, I know I'm not perfect and I know I am being mean, but I can't even understand what I'm feeling. Like, I couldn't get it, express it. I didn't know how, except with rage and that anger and the name calling. And so that was a big deal for me to understand that, okay, that isn't me. And I can separate myself from that and I can change because I haven't always been that person and I don't like that person. Those are some of the symptoms. Deciding what to do with it is a big deal. And saying I'm going to get help whether or not my husband does or not. More often than not, it's one or the other. It's rare. Our story is kind of a rarity where both of us were on board at the same time. For a lot of our marriage, it was, he would say, hey, let's go to therapy. And I would resist. And then I would say, let's go. And he would resist. This was the first time that we found actual specialized therapy that was for betrayal trauma and sexual addiction. And so it wasn't like we were going to the doctor with a, you know, back issue, going to our family doctor and saying, hey, I need to have back surgery. And they're saying, I don't know how to help you. I went to an orthopedic. I went to someone who could really help me. And that made all the difference. My husband felt safe when he went into addo recovery because he said, you know what? They've probably heard it all. Everything I'm going to tell them is going to not shock them. They're not going to look down upon me. He felt safe. And so I felt safe knowing that I was going into a place where for the first time in my life, I felt like women, like I belonged. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the girl who had the crappy marriage next to the girl who looked like she had it all. Mm-hmm. And the craziest part is you walk in there and all these women are beautiful. It's not like, you know, and the men are good looking. Like, it's not like these guys are living in their basement at their mom's house in their underwear and they're loser. They're right? Professional, successful businessmen that struggle and they're married to like these great women. And so, I think, yeah, that was off topic, but yeah, I had a lot of preconceived notions of what it looked like to be an addict and to be cheated on. Mm-hmm. And, so for me, finding help for betrayal trauma was a big deal. That absolutely changed my world to get educated on what it what it was and how my brain was functioning, and then to get educated on how my husband's, how his brain and everything was functioning. Mm-hmm. That was really the first steps for me into making change.
Awesome. And don't you feel that something I say all the time, and they probably get annoyed with how often I say this, really knowledge is power. Like just understanding the background of it, understanding what it is and being validated why you have those crazy mom moments, right?
Yeah. I mean, for both of us felt validated, which is a big deal. When you go to therapy, usually one of you feels like, okay, they've got my back. Mm-hmm. It was not that way. And it's still not that way. When we go to our therapist today, she's still like, I love you both. And I'm going to stand up for you both. Like I don't have either of your sides, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So. Yeah. Okay. So through this process, I was watching a Mama Bear moment minute you were having on Instagram story, and you were talking about, and I've heard you actually mention this several times now that I've watched several of them, on you realizing you needed to work on you and how you used to be this judgmental person, which I think human nature, we all are that way. It's like we have to recognize that in ourselves and that it's holding us back. And so you kind of went through that process. But so many women get stuck in, it's his problem. He needs to fix him and himself. What kind of power did you find in you once you discovered that we all have our problems and you had things you needed to work on too? How did you come to that moment, and how has it affected you now that you so openly recognize that, which is incredible and such an example to everyone around you that sees your story?
Thank you. It was really hard, to be honest with you, to say I need help too. Mm-hmm. Because he'd always gone to 12 step. He'd gone 3 times in our marriage, and I'd never gone because it's his problem. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do it. I don't have the addiction. And so the first time I went to 12 step, I was kind of like, oh, I do play a role in this. And although I'm not the one with the addiction, I have the effects of what this addiction has brought into our life. So yeah, I played a big role in it and I still play a role in it. Part of that whole knowledge is power was so that I could gain empathy for myself and what I was going through and who I had once been and had become, mm-hmm. And empathy for my husband. And I think if I hadn't gained that empathy, I don't know that I would have stayed, because that finding that empathy, which is a learned skill. I was absolutely not born with it. I was able to see, like, okay, he really wants this. He wants to be rid of this, yeah. But it's physically hard for him. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's super hard. So, I would say, for me to finally own that I had a role in it, one, it was hard. Two, I started comparing my story to other women's stories. Like I shouldn't be here because my story is not as bad as I'd hear some of these women who their story was heartbreaking. And yet people hear mine and they think, oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's the whole comparison thing. And so I remember coming home and telling Kobe, I don't know if I want to go to this group because they all have, like, their lives are way harder than mine. I feel like I'm already in kind of a better place. I definitely wasn't in a great place, but, so I had to let that go and say, no, I can be just as sad. And, that's what I found a lot with this whole betrayal trauma thing is, most women compare their stories to other women and they don't feel validated in, why do I feel so hurt if it was just an emotional affair? Why do I feel so hurt if he only looked at porn? A lot of the feelings are the same. It's still a betrayal of trust of that relationship and that connection. And so for me, I did a lot of work for understanding myself and with Kobe. But then like last year I did some EMDR work, which was previous, before we were married stuff that I needed to work through, that I hadn't ever planned on working through. So that was kind of a bonus. That was an amazing thing for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's something we actually talk about and work on a little bit. I don't go into huge depth, but the power of our blueprint, mm-hmm. what we bring in with us, right? Everybody has their blueprint, good blueprint. You know, there's good things and we also have bad things, you know, things that we need to change, and that we have the power to actually go back and change it and learn a new perception and know that we have the power within us to create how we want to be, how we want to react. It's all very conscious, though. If we rely on the subconscious, oh, we're messed up, right? Everything you've done has taken a very conscious effort, I'm assuming, right? You've had to be very consciously choosing each path you've taken. I'm going to go to these meetings. I don't feel like I relate to these women, you know, and you consciously put yourself out there to allow yourself to learn a new perspective.
Absolutely. Right? And, you know, I remember hearing people say, I probably even said it, once a cheater, always a cheater. You start telling people your story and they give you advice, you should leave. Like, why? Because it's always easier to solve someone else's problem than to solve your own. And, I learned through this whole process that life is not black and white. And I was that girl who said I would leave if my husband cheated. And then he did it twice and I stayed. And it's just not that black and white. And I think, part of that is owning my part in the story too. He didn't cheat because of me. No, I absolutely don't believe, you know, in that, but I played a role in that whole disconnection of our relationship. So, I do not believe in the once a cheater, always a cheater, if you do the work.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and I'm adamant. I'm so passionate about that part of, if you aren't happy in your life, what are you doing about it? Right? Mm-hmm. Like so many of us just sit back and choose to feel that unhappiness and whatever, and not, because taking that active step forward, like you already know, is painful. Right?
Yeah. It's like a giant leap into this unknown and then like a million baby steps. And, you know, the craziest part, my husband has said this lots of times, but he says it seemed really scary to say, I'm going to give up this life and to start a new one and to live in recovery. It was so overwhelming and so scary, but he's like, this life over here in recovery is so much easier than the life I was living before. And it makes no sense, but it's truth. Yeah. It's truth for us both.
Well, and that kind of makes that statement, the truth of that statement, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like once we finally get to that point that we're like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I know it's going to be so hard. We've been dreading it this whole time. And all of a sudden we get over there on the other side and we're like, oh, it's not quite as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know?
Absolutely. So
I think that's a good thing for us to realize when we're in that moment of having to make that decision. It's like, let's learn from other people's stories. Let's look this up. Let's hear what Ashlyn and Colby have to share about that, because they've been through it, instead of letting that freeze us, like so afraid to take a leap forward, right? So hard. And it probably doesn't help to have the spike in your head.
No.
And I love that when you talked about how you share that with your girls. It's such a great visual, right? It's such a great visual for our children too, to be able to, like, because we do talk about the adversary. We talk about, you know, the dark sources around us and stuff that they so don't want us to have happiness. And to just name it, you know, what Spike's saying, well, Spike is mine, you know, and having that. So share a little bit, tell the ladies what this spike is in your head and how you relate it to yourself and with women, as well as helping your children understand that self-talk.
Yeah. Awesome. So my daughter, Lucy, is the one who came up with Spike in her own therapy sessions. She was getting really conflicting messages in her head of that this was her fault, that she'd been abused, and she couldn't separate her own like truth from these false truths. And so her therapist helped her by giving, he said, you need to give it a name and start recognizing these thoughts. And then he had her draw a picture. And so she has this monster drawn and she named him Spike. And we started implementing it into our home. So oddly enough, our child taught us this. Yes. But it was literally like, it changed our world in our little family because we could separate those thoughts. So my 7-year-old will say, gosh, like Spike is telling me to do, to go and like hit my sister or whatever. She knows and she can separate. I don't want to hit my sister, but I really am being like tempted to go and do this, right? So Spike sends us all sorts of messages in our house. Mm-hmm. So for Kobe, he started implementing it into the recovery process. And we just started recognizing like we all are experiencing that narrative. And it's a broken record most of the time. He's not very creative in coming up with new things to tell us. It's usually the same crap over and over. You're not a good mom. You don't look good enough, or you don't dress good enough, or like a million things, right? When people tell me their Spike narratives, when I work with women, it's heartbreaking. I hate hearing what people's negative thoughts are, because of course you look at someone and you're like, oh, you're awesome. No, like how could you believe those things? And so the idea with it is to first to recognize it. And so we actually encourage people to write it down. Take a week and just start noticing. And whether it's in your phone or on a journal, whatever, not to sit and relish in those awful thoughts, but to see there's probably a pattern. Mm-hmm. And there's most likely maybe some triggers that set off that pattern, whether it's when you're around a certain person or maybe when you're getting dressed every morning. It doesn't matter what it is, but you can help to prevent these narratives if you can figure out where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And so we recognize them, we see the pattern in them, and we try to find the triggers within them. And we really try to just combat them with the opposite. And so sometimes finding the truth is hard when you really don't know your truth. You don't believe that you are of value or that you are a good mom. The mom thing is probably the number one thing that I hear, that I'm not a good mom. Like, I don't know. I've met a mom who thinks like they're the best mom in the world.
Yeah,
most moms struggle.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling like I messed up or my kids are going to hate me or whatever. And so that one's a really common one. But being able, so if you can't find your truth, it would be calling your mom or calling your best friend, calling your husband and saying, I need you to speak truth to this because I keep hearing it in my head every single day and I need it to stop. And so someone else can help find your truth if you can't.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's combating it with the absolute truth and just being, sometimes it's funny. A lady yesterday I was talking to, she said, he's so stupid. I just tell him like, you're so dumb. You're not creative. I've already heard this before and I already know my truths. Like, shut up. And then she just kind of goes through those, like, I know I'm a good mom and I had a hard moment right then, but I'm a good mom. Like, I take care of my kids. They always have food and clothes and that type of thing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I actually really like how you said in the different therapies that you work with people, have them recognize it for like a week, write them down, because that's something that I feel there's a lot of power. I heard from a friend who heard it from her professor. You have to name it before you can tame it. You have to recognize it first,
I like that.
Right? And then you know what you need to change. But we have to, and so that's exactly what you do. It's like, not that we want to sit and give it so much attention and dwell in that moment. It's a negative thing. We don't want to dwell there, but we can't change what we don't know is there or not. So we have to take the time to discover it name it. Okay, I am doing self-negative talk right now. Spike is yelling at me. You know, write down the thoughts. And like you said, then you might find triggers. You might find, you know, areas that you will be able to heal in and make Spike shut up even more.
It's crazy because you mentioned people may not even recognize. I offer this like 5-day shame resiliency course online. I do it just because people don't realize how much shame they hold. And I just think if people could figure that out and have more shame resiliency, that we would all get along a lot better, right?
Yeah.
But people, they'll get in the class and they're like, I don't think I have shame. And then they're like, oh my gosh, like it's all day long. And they don't recognize it because it's become their norm. Yeah. They're just used to being told they are terrible and worthless and unlovable, all these things. Mm-hmm. And that's not normal. That's not okay. Yeah. But I think like 80% of our thoughts are negative if we don't tame them.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I imagine that you're a Brené Brown fan.
Yes.
Right. So I'm so grateful that you're sharing that because I really do believe that shame is so detrimental. It's life changing. You know, I've watched people that because of shame just turn such a negative direction, you know, and their whole life from that point on totally different, and they can link it back to just a moment of shame. That's how powerful it is. It's extremely powerful. And I mean, tell me if you agree with this, a lot of addiction comes from shame.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. So that's why it was such a big deal. And you can recognize this. It's a huge deal that Kobe wanted to share his story. His shame resilience with his own story is extremely high. People can say all they want. And he's just like, oh, I love who I am now. And that's who I was, but it's not who I am now.
Yeah.
So we have different layers of shame resiliency in our story. We're really high. In other areas of our life, we're not as high. So we're working on it. But it's super common within addiction and betrayal trauma to just struggle with the shame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They go hand in hand, completely hand in hand. So I love that you have that 5-day shame resiliency program. I want you to share with these ladies that are going to listen to this, each avenue of the programs that you have, because I know like Colby has some stuff that he does. Okay. You have stuff that you do, and you have stuff you do together. And then share, please, your story about your healthy living, because I watched that and I tell you what, seeing your x-rays with the probes or whatever those all are inside your back, right? And looking at your abs, I'm like, okay, nothing's getting this girl down. If she can do this, we need to, this is amazing. Absolutely. You have every excuse to not do it, right? Because I'm sure you have a level of pain daily. I'm sure you do. So to see that, Ashlyn, I wish I could express, hopefully it's coming out in the passion that I'm trying to express it in, how powerful of an example that is, that we can push through hard things. It doesn't have to dictate what our life is going to be, but we have to choose to make that conscious effort and not let life dictate who we're going to be. So share all about your programs. I want you to give exposure to all of them, including your podcast. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So tell the ladies what you have.
Okay. All right. So the podcast we've been doing for 10 months and we don't edit it. We go into it every Friday at 1 p.m. with a therapist. He's a sexual addiction therapist. He's not our therapist. And my husband and myself. So it's three different opinions on one topic. And we choose the topic like 2 minutes before we start the video. So it's pretty raw. And I don't know. I love it. It's something that we all look forward to and enjoy doing. And it's just something we do to give. Mm-hmm. Then we have, with Betrayed Addicted Expert, that part of it, we do offer online workshops for relationships and building trust back in safety into a marriage. Mm-hmm. With our story, there's a lot of those problems. That's what everyone's seeking if they're deciding to stay together, is bringing back safety and trust. Mm-hmm. So we talk about how to do that. Then Kobe and I offer, we do women's recovery groups. So it's more like an accountability group where we have a weekly 75-minute phone call, like just on this, like on Zoom. And we meet with women all over the world who are different religions, different beliefs, but they're all in betrayal trauma. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the most amazing, I do it for 3 hours a week. And they're my favorite times because these women are all vulnerable. They're all in it and they're sacrificing. Some of them are waking up at 4 a.m. to be on these calls or staying up till midnight, you know, trying to fit all these different time zones is hard. But we offer that because there's a need. It's very isolating, especially if you don't live where I live. There's a lot of resources. So we also... Okay, so there's the women's group, and then Kobe does a men's group. So same idea. I'm not on those calls. Again, men all around the world. And then he does men's one-on-one addiction mentoring. So for people who don't want to have that group setting, they just want that one-on-one time with Kobe. He does that as well. I don't do one-on-one currently with women. The fitness part of it, that's where I started. That's where I always end up. It's the fun part of what we do. There is emotional parts of it, absolutely. But it's really just helping people get started with their simple nutrition and simple workouts. So we only work out 30 to 40 minutes, 5 to 6 days a week. We stopped going to the gym. We started including our kids so they could see it. They don't have to work out, but they're a part of it. So they're usually just dancing and playing. But they see us working out, which is a huge change for our family. And so we really encourage that for other people. So I run online groups for that. So a place for people to come and feel like it's a safe place. They can say, no one's eating healthy around me and I'm struggling. Oh, help me, you know, or they're getting their workouts in, whatever they are, and a place to ask questions. So I do those as well. And it always has a weekly call like this as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And is the best place to find, like, what are the name of your websites for them to come and find you? What are your...
Ashlyn and Kobe. So Ashlyn and Kobe has our stories and how to get a hold of us. And then if you go to Instagram or Facebook, Mama Bear Fitness, then that's the fitness side of it.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. I really recommend, ladies, that you follow her because she makes me smile. She's so real. You are so real. Like your little chats that you have, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so good. You know, you're taking time to share this with these with the world, and you're making a difference, and you've taken a really hard thing in your life on from all aspects, from your health because of the health challenges that you've had to your marriage and Colby's challenges, and you're saying, you know what, guys, this is what's happened, and we're going to push through it, and we want you to join me on this journey, and now all of a sudden, because you know how you said, I had never shared my story. Nobody knew. You know what that alone feeling feels like. And I applaud you for like allowing yourself to be so extremely vulnerable and help other women and men feel like you don't have to do this alone. That's really, really powerful, Ashlyn.
You are too sweet, but thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And I just appreciate, I know just besides busy with all the other things you have going, you're a busy mom and you're going crazy in your own life. So for you to take these few minutes with me, I really appreciate it. It's been really fun to get to know you. I hope our paths will cross again in the near future. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
allowing us to be part of your journey. It's really powerful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We will talk soon, hopefully.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Wasn't that an incredible interview? Once again, you can find Ashlyn on Instagram at Mama Bear Fitness. I believe she even has a Instagram just under Ashlyn Mitchell. She's great to follow. She does not pretend about anything. She shows raw, real life, and I really love that. And I hope that if you found this podcast to be helpful to you, and you know any other women in your life that might be struggling with something challenging or hard, please share it with them, because I really do believe when we can embrace the power that we have within ourselves, in working on ourselves and what my part is, that's when life starts to change. Because when we are just solely focused on those around us fixing their part, it makes it so much more challenging, because we have no control over their part, but we certainly have control over ours. So I hope that you got something out of this podcast that you can implement into your own lives. And again, I thank you for joining me today, and hope that you have a great week, and we will chat at you next week.